Welcome to the Bards FM podcast. My name is Scott Kesterson, and you're listening to A Conversation with Dr. Pam Popper.
This war is real. Fighting is everything. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Tempt not the righteous man to draw his sword. Conviction, righteousness, ruthlessness. To understand tolerance, you have to understand the line of intolerance. War is the teacher, soldiers are the students. They become the bards of war.
Good evening, patriots. Let's start right with the top. We're going to have a great interview, first of all, this evening with Dr. Pam Popper. You're going to enjoy this. This is some very straight and forward talk about the threat we currently face, which is rather timely with what has happened today. Media Matters, which is run by David Brock, they're a communist, Soros-backed organization. They decided to declare war on Bardsfest today. I'll read you the headline. Ticketmaster and Eventbrite are making money off a conference organized by a QAnon supporter coordinating with a QAnon militia. So apparently, B-Dads, you are a QAnon militia. Just want you to know that. And apparently, I am a QAnon militia leader. I'm pretty excited about that, actually, I have to tell you. It's quite amazing. And that must mean I'm a warlord. I think I'm a warlord. I'm going to be a warlord. I'm declaring this nation Bard's Nation. All states are now under my banner. I am now a warlord. But here's what they did do today. They managed to go after, well, they didn't even go after. They probably picked up the phone and they called Eventbrite. So how this began today was that some people started noticing that the Eventbrite page had gone down for the outdoor was the drive-in St. Louis, which is an amazing space. We're going to talk a little bit about that before we get started tonight. And it's Powerplex, I think is what this referred to as. It's actually just an amazing indoor and outdoor event space. And that's the second, there's two venues, right? There's the there's the arena, and then there's this event space, which is an indoor-outdoor event space. And we really built it up as a family event space. So they went after Eventbrite, which was running the ticket sales for the drive-in St. Louis. And lo and behold, what do you know? Eventbrite just canceled. Didn't talk to anybody. They just canceled the ticket sales and refunded all the money. Just like that. Boom, terminated ticket sales. So if you do business with Eventbrite, don't do Eventbrite business anymore. And if you would really like to express your feelings to Eventbrite, I'm sure their number is easy to find, as is the number to contact Media Matters for actually trying to undermine a God and family event. That's what communists do. They are very scared right now about what this is, and you should read the article. It's in Media Matters. Matter of fact, I'll put the article here in chat, and then you guys can spread it around on Telegram and do whatever else you do. So that is and by the way, I'm listed by name. Now, that made me happy because I didn't want to just be a warlord. A warlord has to have a name. Kesterson is also reportedly coordinating with a QAnon militia group called First Amendment Praetorians. Oh my goodness. First Amendment Praetorians have listed Bardsfest as an upcoming event on its site. Dun, 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 dun. Special Forces veterans are now QAnon militia. These dirtbags are unbelievable. Additionally, multi-known anti-vaxxers are listed as speakers, including Dell Bigtree, Clay Clark, Tulsa, Oklahoma businessman who has organized similar QAnon adjacent anti-vax events around. Kesterson has suggested his conference will build on Clark's organizing. Oh, they must have listened to my interview with Clark. They've listened to my show, at least. They've listened to us, patriots. That's pretty nice. Oh, and listen to this. Other QAnon influencers are also attending. Zach Payne, a QAnon show host. Zach's going to be on Sunday night. I can't wait. This is so good. Everybody's getting famous in this article. Oh, my goodness. Look at this. Christine Northrup and Sherry Tenpenny. Oh, no, no, no. They need to look at the latest list. Lee Merritt is an anti-vaxxer who is also a member of the medical misinformation group, America's Frontline Doctors. The disinformation dozen, both Tenpenny and Northrop, have previously endorsed QAnon shows. Hark, hark, hark. So anyway, Eventbrite decided to declare war on us. So we're going to declare war back. So here's the deal. For those of you that had your tickets refunded, don't worry about it. You got your money back. That's a good thing. And the other part is we've got a new pay platform coming up. We've got a couple of options we're working with. We'll get this thing resolved in the next 24, 48 hours. The event at the Powerplex, the drive-in St. Louis, is fantastic. We had a call with the team today. Dan Buck, who's the owner of that, is just a true patriot. He's all behind us 100%. So don't worry about anything. What we need to do is we need to get more people there now. So every faith person you know, every church you're involved with, every pastor you know, you need to send them this article of MediaMatters.org, and you need to let them know that these communists are trying to crush a God-based event. It's pretty easy because we need more God people there. And the best gift we could possibly give them all is to bring a million patriots there to pray. That's what I say. Whatever. The devil showed his face. I kicked the devil in the nuts today. That's okay. I'm happy about that. Bring it, devil. You got nothing on me. It's all good. And I did it with my bare feet, too. I wasn't even wearing my boots today. Imagine if I'd been wearing my boots. Man, I did like a yah, rah, little bit of a karate chopper. Barefoot kicking in the devil's nuts. That's good. I like that shit. So anyway. All good. So we're moving along. Don't stress. This event is getting bigger and better every single day. And that's what I wanted to talk to you a little bit about today. You can obviously still get your tickets for the Family Arena. Don't be surprised, Patriots, if you get notified by Ticketmaster. It's like, we're refunding all your tickets. I've got so many backup plans on this. They have no idea. And we're working overtime. And you're going to hear about them so they can all go whatever. You know what I'm going to say. So the deal is that we're just rocking and rolling on this. So keep driving on your Family Arena tickets, the arena, okay? Get those out there, get people to go there, and then we're going to get. Now, the other event, this is what I want to talk to you about because it's awesome. We have an indoor vendor space, okay? Big. And Dan even said today, he goes, would you like to have 17 vendors? I'm like, yeah, we'd like 17 vendors. Of course, we want 17 vendors. So we're having an indoor event space. We have an indoor ice rink. We have an indoor cornhole place for people to play. We have an indoor ninja obstacle course to go through for kids and families. We have the seven pillars of the county by county program, all with their different areas to set up in. So it's like individual stores. It's a mall. It's like, this is what we're doing. They're taking over this mall, right? And we've got a big area for the daycare for parents. And then outside, we have kind of a festivity carnival event going on. And we've got a big stage outside. So there's an inside outside. So it gets a little bit hot, which it'll be. We've got food vendors there. When it gets a little bit hot, you can go inside, chill out, maybe have the air conditioning going on. What makes this place different than the arena is that it's really geared towards the families being together. We haven't had a Patriot event that is focused on families. And so we've got both going on simultaneously. We have all sorts of good things going on inside, and all the speakers are sharing. I mean, they're going back and forth. We've got bands in each location. You've got every day begins with a sermon. Every day we have worship music. Every single day we have pastors talking. Every day we have great speakers talking. Oh, yeah, and even those conspiracy crazy QAnon doctors. Those ones that are trying to keep you alive from getting the bioweapon injected in you. Anyway, as we move along here, Sherry Tenpenny's a QAnoner. Oh, my goodness. So then we'll have those QAnon doctors talking, and even that your QAnon militia warlord leader, me, will be speaking on stage a couple of times. I will proclaim America to be Bard's Nation. I think I'll do that. We have to fly a Bard's Nation flag. Maybe the New York Times will take a picture. That'll be epic. Oh, and FBI, NSA, and CIA, since we know you're listening, you're welcome to come because maybe you'll get a little Jesus and stop being a bunch of tyrant jack, you know what I'm saying? So come if you are a FBI member, if you're a U.S. Marshal, you're welcome. If you are a CIA operative, you're equally welcome. If you are MI6 that helped overthrow our election, please come. If you are an NSA member listening in on our call tonight, you are welcome to come because we want to give you a little Jesus. Come and pray with us. You might find something really good, like you might have to confess your sins that you were spying on America and helping overthrow the government, which was God's government. That's kind of a tough pill to swallow, but we'll help you through it. Don't worry. We've got plenty of pastors, and they'll shock you. They'll be... So we're gonna proclaim Guards Nation, because since I am now officially a QAnon militia warlord leader, you can't be a warlord if you don't have a militia, and you can't be a warlord if you don't proclaim a nation. So it's Bards Nation! Bards Nation! All right, Patriots, Bards Nation. I just love Media Matters. They just make my life so much more fun and so much easier. I'll tell you right now. So let's get this word out. Honestly, get this word out to all the churches that you know, all the pastors that you know. I mean, good ones, right? Because the ones that are turning their churches into injection sites probably aren't the ones you want to be talking to. But anyway, get that out there, and let's spread the word, and let's make this a big event, and let everybody know, let all the faith followers, God-loving, Jesus-loving people in America know that Media Matters has worked with Eventbrite to try to prevent us from having a God event. When I talked to Dan Buck today, he was pissed. I mean, he was spitting mad. And I mean, mad, not at me, obviously, at them. And I said, Dan, I said, do you honestly think these people are going to stop God from having an event? And he started laughing. He goes, boy, Scott, that was awesome. And I said, yes, God's not going to be stopped. Like a bunch of communist trolls, Ticketmaster, and Eventbrite are making money on off of a conference organized by QAnon. No, we're organized by God-loving patriots. Whatever. It's awesome. That said, remember the 27th, so get your tickets. Go over to bardsfest.com before I jump into the next. Go over to bardsfest.com. You can still get your tickets while we readjust our ticket sales for the other event. Get your tickets for the arena. It's there. They're for sale. They're on Ticketmaster. Don't stress about any of this. Just get your tickets. We're working on so many things here. Just plan on being there, okay? That's the bottom line. Plan on being there. We just need people there. Just get the word out. If nothing else, we'll sell tickets at the gate. I mean, I really don't, you know, there's so many different ways we can do this and so many different ways we can slice this. I'm not even stressed. The outdoor arena is so easy because it's general admission. We just want people there, okay? So just get on over there. Get on in down to Missouri, the show me state. That's why we're there, okay? So next is that we've got Mike Lindell speaking on the 27th on both the Powerplex, which is a wonderful family space, and the family arena, right? He's speaking in both locations. And just so you know, I listened to an interview today with Jim Hoff and War Room, Steve Bannon. And I'm telling you, Jim Hoff was clear. They are not going to be satisfied until they try to ruin Mike Lindell and ruin his company. So here's my answer. Another nice comment to the left. Go pound sand and kiss Satan's butt, because we are not going to stand for this. Mike Lindell has been fighting for this nation, and we are going to stand by him so much. And here's the deal. Continue to share this and help promote his company. We are doing Slipper Revolution Day on the 27th. I hope Media Matter shows up, because I'm going to slipper slap them right up the head. Man, I'll tell you, I'm so sick of these people, because this is what happens. Like, people go, ooh, Media Matters, David Brock. I'll tell you what, David Brock, I'll give you a challenge. Keep me in the ring with you. I promise you, put me in any ring with you anytime and give me 10 minutes. I won't even need it, but I'll give you 10 minutes. I'll even give you the first swing. We'll settle this like men. No problem. And we'll do boxing rules. Knockout counts. And I swear to God, I swear on God right now, David Brock, I will knock your ass out so far and so cold, you'll need a stretcher to take you home. So join me. That's my challenge. Open challenge, Patriots. You can let David Brock know that that challenge is for him to come in and have it out with me. And it's a man-to-man, not some little weenie snip, whatever the heck he is. I'll stand up and we will do it man-to-man. We'll just settle this thing like old school. Ring and legal boxing rules. We'll make it a center event at any place you want. Oh, I will enjoy that. And we'll even give you gloves and a mouthpiece, David. Don't worry. Might even give you a helmet because you're going to need it. But there you go, Patriots. Time to stand in the gap and start acting like we are. Christians is who we are. And we're strong and we're David standing to Goliath. I fear nothing, man. I'll tell you right now. So there you have it. Challenge is out. You can let David Brock know and his bunch of media trolls. Oh, Alex Kaplan, you're the one that wrote the article. Alex, come on down. Come on down, Alex. We got something for you. We got something for you, Alex. Anyway. All right, so we're going to have a fantastic event. Maybe we'll even have a boxing match. No problem. Alex. You probably got some tight jeans on, Alex. You drinking your soy milk? Whatever. All right, so anyway, get on over there to MyPillow and give some love to MyPillow and our great CEO patriot, Mike Lindell. You've got Bards promo code, B-A-R-D-S. Drive it home, Patriots. Spread it far and wide. Let's crank the sales up on that company. We love him, and we want to keep those sales going. Okay, and then last two things for you. Remember to get a Clout Hub account. I spoke to Jeff Brain, the CEO of Clout Hub, again today. He's a fantastic guy. And they're really working to help us and team with us at Bards Fest to make this an incredible event. So get on over to Clout Hub. That's free, by the way. And get yourself an account. We're going to start pushing live streaming on Clout Hub, hopefully tomorrow night, if I can get it all going. But it's going to happen very soon. We're going to start parallel streaming. And we're going to start pushing to Clout Hub. It's going to be super, super awesome. So let's get on over there and start supporting Clout Hub. That is a true free freedom of speech platform. And they're bringing in some fantastic technology next week. A thing called Meetings. It's really cool. And we're going to be able to do some really cool interactive events down the way. So that's all good news for us patriots who love God, hate the left, want to throat stomp the devil, and we're ready to be the David standing up to the Goliath. So don't worry. We're coming back with a storm, man. And the storm is going to be like, roll you on over. Roll you down the road, Rover. Barrel roll you down the hill. And we are doing it together. So make sure and let everybody know that they have already tried now, not once, but twice, to shut this event down. Remember, the mass gag attack, the mandatory mask thing, was not just random. That happened in the same county on the same target that Media Matters just hit. So let's buckle up. We got some work to do. We need lots and lots of patriots there. Okay. Now, the last little bit of a notice for tonight is tomorrow night is a big night. It's a big night. We've got, obviously, every night these days is almost a big night, because, like, tonight we've got Dr. Pam Popper. Tomorrow night is Dr. Eric E., Dr. Eric Napudi, our favorite doctor. And why is he on? Why is Dr. Eric on? Because Dr. Eric and I are excited to announce and present to you the new Expedition Coffee. And I'm telling you, it is something. You're going to love his discussion. We've just had an honest conversation today about what is fantastic about it. It's not just coffee, trust me. This is what warriors need. So that's going to be launched tomorrow night. You get to listen to us rant on about this coffee for about 30 minutes. By the time you'll be through, you'll either be going, I'm going to buy it, or you two are crazy. But that's okay. I can be crazy. I don't mind being crazy, Patriots. I remember, if I'm crazy, that's because I'm a QAnon militia warlord, baby. I'm going to have to get a t-shirt that says that. I'm a QAnon militia warlord. And I proclaim this is Bard's Nation. Absolutely. I'll tell you, what a bunch of clowns, man. All right, Patriots, your warlord says, listen up. All right, soldiers, this is your warlord speaking. And what is it? It's going to be this. We got a great interview coming. All right, Patriots, so let's buckle up. We got some fun to have here. Just every single time these turds do something, just make sure and give them some love back. We already had one of our great prayer warriors, call them today and give them a lecture about, left a message for Media Matters, letting them know that they needed some Jesus. I just love this. It's just like, no, we aren't going to let you off on this one. This is God's event. So proclaim God on this one. Let's pray. Let's get the hands up. Let's celebrate Christ and all that we have in our life, and let's be happy, because what God's showing us is what they are, and what God's leading us is to have one of the greatest events in history. And we know if they're coming at us, the devil's scared. And that's the best part. So we are on the offensive. We're knocking it down. And you know, if they picked out this one event, they, you know, they're afraid. They're like, what's happening? We've got God-loving patriots assembling in one place by the thousands. Uh-huh. And you better look out, because we're blowing shofars. We're going to split the sky. You won't even know what happened. All right, patriots. So let's get on with our interview tonight. What an amazing interview tonight. You'll love it. Dr. Pam Popper. I'll let her just let the interview speak for itself. She's an amazing woman doing amazing things up in Ohio and for the whole nation. And boy, does she have a spirit of fight, and I love it. So without further ado, let me introduce you to Dr. Pam Popper. Well, patriots, I'm happy today, I'm very honored to have Dr. Pam Popper on the show, who is going to talk to us about her efforts and her program to make Americans free again. It's an amazingly deep and involved operation she's been leading that ranges from litigation to helping small business and helping people get their kids out of these communist death camps that we call schools. So, Pam, welcome to the show. And why don't you start out by telling us a little bit about what your organization is and about yourself?
Okay, great. Thank you. So just a tiny bit about myself. I opened my business, Wellness Forum Health, in 1996, and we carved out this kind of interesting niche, which I think has prepared me for what we're doing right now. I said when this happened, I don't think I would have wanted to miss this whole episode. It's a very interesting time to be alive, and I think to a certain extent I've been in training for it for a couple, 3 decades. And so here's what I'm talking about. Our specialty is informed medical decision-making. We look at risks and benefits and help patients decide whether or not to have a procedure, to take this particular dietary supplement, or have a particular screening test or whatever. And informed consumers make better decisions about everything, including health, right? So that's what we've been doing. And as part of that, I've been creating courses. We own a school. We train health professionals how to do this stuff. And then I write newsletters. I've written books. And so my job, to a certain extent, is medical journalism, right? So I've been looking into everything medical for a long time, and I've been writing about the fact that most of what we do in medicine doesn't work, and that this unholy partnership between the government and drug companies and the medical cartel, because that's what it really is terrible for consumers. And so all this to say, when this started, I wasn't surprised. I knew exactly what it was, and it was terrifying because I knew exactly what it was. It was the biggest episode of medical tyranny ever in the history of the world, and we've been escalating toward it for a real long time. So once we got our bearings, I mean, it was kind of, even though I knew what it was kind of shocking the extent to which they took this. Like, they've declared fake pandemics in the past, that's not new. But the extent to which they took this just took your breath away. So it took a couple months to figure out this was going to take a different approach than some of the other stuff that we've all been doing for the last 50 years, trying to end medical tyranny that didn't work. And so that's the situation in which, or the environment in which, I started Make Americans Free Again. I looked around, and I think we can all agree the executive branch has gone off the rails. I mean, with a couple of exceptions, the state governors have declared themselves emperors and empresses, and people shouldn't be fooled by a couple of them that have been benevolent and lifted orders and said, oh, you can take your mask off and go outside now. And well, they can tell you to put that mask back on and declare another emergency. They've done it before, you know. So they're really not elected officials anymore. Our legislatures are useless. We can talk about that if you want to. So we have one branch of government that still functions, which is the courts. And they're not all good, but we only need a couple of things to go right for us, and that's starting to happen, and we'll win anyway. So that was the first thing. We got to start suing. We got to file lawsuits, because what these people have done is declare a fake emergency, impose all these orders, ruin people's businesses, ended up, you know, so many people in nursing homes died, some of them deaths of despair, and on and on and on. So lawsuits are the way you ultimately bring these people to justice and make sure this can't happen again. But there are also so many issues that we have to deal with. Our small businesses have been decimated, and the government doesn't have a plan for that. You said very accurately, the government's plan is to put kids in these dystopian buildings we used to call schools and ruin a generation of people, and we can't let that happen. And the medical censorship, where if you hold a professional license, they can take it away if you say something that you're not supposed to say. Or if you're not licensed, they can put you in prison for practicing without a license. We have to do something about that, because there's no informed consent when people cannot get accurate information from their healthcare providers. So we just decided to tackle those issues and developed a plan to do it that has never been done before, and that stays away from the things that have been done before that have been proven to not be effective, or we wouldn't actually be in this situation. So that's my story.
Pam, one of the things that we witness is the lack of integrity even within our legal community. Finding lawyers that have a backbone, that are willing to stand up or have the will to break from their legal firms, is a rare thing. We have, obviously, we know a few. Attorney Tom Renz, who's being a patriot right now, standing up against the FTC and a variety of other actions he's taking. How are you going about finding these attorneys? Because from my experience, it's a rare breed that's willing to take the stands that you're talking about.
You're right. And so now I think I can talk about this on your show. It's God. I'm not kidding. Okay. So when we started these Thursday groups, that's what we call them, because mine meets on Thursday, but you can actually have them anytime. We started the groups with the idea that we're going to get citizens together locally. We need to do that. This whole business of having Facebook relationships is like, I don't even know what that is, but we got to stop that nonsense and actually have humans in the same room with each other who live nearby each other, who can work on their communities. But what we found is that anything that you need can happen as a result of building your Thursday group network. So you're right. The big firms are not going to take this on. One of the reasons is they have contracts with the state. Like here in Franklin County, where I live, all the big law firms work for the Emperor DeWine. They're not going to help us. So what you need is a lawyer practicing on his own or her own, or in a two-person firm or something of that nature, who's a principled person willing to take the heat for doing it. That's how we found Tom. It's like somebody who knows somebody who knows somebody who hired this guy who knows Tom, you know what I mean, that kind of thing. Or they just walk into the Thursday groups. That's what happened in Kentucky and in Maine. And by the way, anything else you need comes from Thursday groups. When everything was locked down, our Thursday group system, that's how you knew where to go get your eyes checked without wearing a mask, the dentists that didn't require masks, the hair salons that wouldn't take your temperature, the bars that didn't have, you know, all the plexiglass and the whole nine yards. And I got a biology teacher from my Thursday group, and everything comes from Thursday groups. And I've just said, if you just put it out there, do the work, ask God for help, and it comes. So that's how we're finding our attorneys. And they're amazing. Like if you look at them, they're actually forming one person at a time, a national law firm of principled lawyers who have incredible skills and legal knowledge. If you watch this hearing that we were talking about Friday before we got on the show, this is legal skill that we should be paying $700 an hour for. We're not, thank God, right? But they're forming a national law firm that will be able to take on all of the issues associated with this, and that it will go on forever. I've said my last day on the planet, I'm going to go to court in the morning, go to the office and, you know, do some things in the afternoon, go home and teach class and just not get up the next day. We'll be in court forever. These are the people who can really take it the whole distance.
I think you hit a critical point there, and it's something I've been pushing very hard on my channel, which is the idea that this is not a fight that's going to end in our lifetime. It's a fight that is only beginning. And it's something that gets into greater than an ideology. It's almost a counter theology that we're facing. It's a group of people that truly believe in the worship of the state. They believe in the destruction of the Constitution. And above all, to the key point that you just mentioned, they believe in the elimination of God in any form in this world. you're facing that daily in this fight, and I would assume that takes some pretty heavy toll on you as well. Why don't you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, it does and it doesn't. I mean, I have to be mindful of things a little bit less now. I mean, there was a point in time where I think that Tom and I were very conscious of the fact that if you just wanted to nip this in the bud and you got rid of the two of us, that would maybe take care of it, at least for a while. And during that time, it was winter, and because it was like late fall when we were trying to get a name for ourselves and everything. And so I have a security, I live in a fortress here, and didn't go any place by myself, had to be accounted for all the time. That was difficult, and I never really felt afraid. I can't tell you that I felt afraid. I just had to be aware. I really felt like God was going to protect me. I've been involved in some battles that were big in the past where I thought it was a good versus evil thing, and I won, and I felt like I won because God protected me. I have a business partner who's very involved in this, Peter Bragan, who's gone up against the big drug companies. He was the expert witness in the Prozac trial who handled all that whole class action case when it started. So I think we all felt like we should just be smart and aware. We felt like we were protected by God, and it was just more of a, I'm spoiled, like I just want to get in a car and go to the post office or buy my own bananas, you know, that was wearing. But I mean, it's a small price to pay. Today, I feel like there are so many people involved in the effort that getting rid of a person or two is probably not worth it to them. It would probably attract more negative attention than anything. So I'm not stupid and careless, but I also can go get my own bananas and go to the post office without being afraid somebody's going to do something terrible to me. So, I think that it takes a strong person to do this. And I think that's kind of why I was chosen, why I've been in training for all this time. I mean, it's a pretty perfect constellation of background that brought me here that I don't think wasn't by design, if you know what I mean.
Oh, I do. And I think it's interesting because this comment you talk about, I've talked about, and many others say the same thing, that we are here in this place for such a time with the skills needed and the experience needed to be able to fight this fight that God's put before us. Well, you have a huge range of things you're touching on your platform, and in your everything from the injections, this bioweapon, to the saving a small business, to probably what I would think to be one of the most critical elements of your fight in spite of all those others, and that's the saving of God's children. Talk a little bit about these efforts, because I know you've made some huge headway in helping get parents to homeschool and getting their kids out of these dystopian death camps that we call public education.
Yeah, so that actually started last year, and it was a very last minute thing, and another just, you know, thank you God kind of thing. So a friend of mine in Arizona heard what I was planning to do, what we were planning to do, and said, look, I'll come up to Columbus for a couple months and just don't have to pay me or anything. Just tell me what you need. So he and another person who works in my office got together, and they put together this homeschool resource center on our website. It's been there since last year. And we haven't paid very much attention to it because we probably helped 80,000 families get their kids out of school last year. But a lot of it was a lot of people were schooling at home, whatever the heck that means, and that sort of thing. So we really focused on, we've got to get these lawsuits going. We have to raise money. And then the small business thing, which I'll talk about, which was really crucial. We lose small businesses in America. We've lost, that's a huge part of our middle class. So we helped a lot of families get their kids out of school, and that's there. That resource center is there. But the pressure this year is really intense. And I started saying during the summer, and I hate when I'm right about these things, I always say, you know, please let me be wrong because it would mean less work for me and less trouble for the country, right? But I said this summer, you know, they're making all these nice gestures about letting your kids come to school without masks because you've seen some of the online videos, people screaming at the school board and chasing them out of the building and parents screaming, you know, testimony about the terrible things that have happened to their kids. So they're going to be nice about it. And then they have some kind of other plan in mind. So what is the other plan in mind? Well, I found out doing some research that one of these stupid gargantuan bills that basically calls for the printing of money in Washington included this provision called the American Rescue Plan. $1.9 trillion, and inside of it is this $122 billion allocation that goes to public schools, and part of it is, and private schools can apply, and part of that money is earmarked to continue COVID nonsense, all right? So I started looking at school systems because according to the website for this thing, the schools had to post something on their website about how they were going to comply with CDC guidelines by June 24th. And lo and behold, some of these schools had the most elaborate websites, and they said, we're going to do testing and contact tracing, and you know the kids are going to sit in circles, and if there's a case, we report the child to the Department of Health, and then we contact all the parents, and then all the kids have to wear masks again. And I thought, oh my God, I was right about this, right? Well, it's worse than that. So some schools, like where I live in Worthington, Ohio, they posted this very brief summary of what they were going to do. It sounded pretty innocuous. So we started, and there were a lot of them like that. So we started having the parents write to the superintendent, and this is a little white lie, but we had to do it, and act like they were really in favor of all this stuff. Like, dear superintendent, I'm a concerned parent. I want to thank you for keeping our children safe, blah, blah, blah. But I need some clarification on what you're going to do this year. Well, the superintendent where I live writes back to a parent and says, well, we're going to have a mask-friendly environment. And of course, that could change, and we have to mask everybody, because if that's what the Department of Health says, we have to do it. And by the way, we can't do anything different than other school systems because we share a community. So any idea that the parents might have that the school might do something different with pressure just goes out the window. But this little email goes on, and at the very end, and this should just send a chill up your spine, it says, now, the one thing we haven't figured out yet, but we will have it done before August, is how we're going to do testing and contact tracing and quarantines. Quarantines in the public schools, all right? So let me put that in some context. The CDC has posted on its website, they posted it last year, and it says instructions for parents. And it says that all parents should send their children to school with enough stuff in their backpack that if they're separated from their family overnight, that they'll have enough stuff like medications or whatever. So the bottom line is that even aside from the miserable academics and the ridiculous crap that they're teaching in these schools, it's not a safe environment. And one of my MAFA chapter leaders said that she thinks that last year when they locked everybody, all the nursing home patients in, they were doing that as a trial run to see if people would react. And they really didn't do anything. So now they're going to do it with kids. And I wouldn't put it past them. So, hence, we now have an incredible pressure to get every child we can out of these places, and that means finding, having parents to help them work through the de-schooling process. Like, people go, oh my gosh, school starts in early August. Well, who says? It doesn't have to. You know, school can start in October if you want. And, you know, what am I going to do? I've got to have my kid in school at 7:30. No, you don't. Actually, your high school student will turn back into a human being when you let her sleep till 7 o'clock and then get up and start school at 10, right? So, but we need a lot of people to help with that. We need to help people get curriculum. And so we have a task force in Columbus that's been working on this and developed a lot of resources. And this is what we spend all day, every day on now.
So these resources, are they available for anybody outside of Ohio, or are they specifically for the Ohio environment?
They are for anybody in all 50 states. We just have two requirements, actually. You have to be a member of Make Americans Free Again, which doesn't cost anything to join, but you got to be a member, and then you have to be part of or start a group, because you need, this is why the local groups are so important. So everybody wants, well, I have a Facebook group, and I have a Zoom group. People are Zoomed out. That's the first thing. But the second thing is, I live in Worthington, Ohio, and if I have a Zoom group of 50 people, and one's in Hawaii, and one's in Alaska, and two are in Minnesota, and five are in New York, that is not going to help me figure out where I'm going to put my kid Monday through Friday if I have a full-time job, right? It is not going to help me. We can't pool resources to hire an art teacher that way. So you have to have this local community. So the good news about it is it's inspired a lot of people to say, okay, I'll start a group. I see the value in this because I have a personal interest. And I think that's one of the reasons why we've taken on three big issues in addition to the lawsuits, is that different people are motivated by different things. So one person might say, well, I don't have any children. My grandchildren live 1,000 miles away. I'm not going to be homeschooling them. So my efforts might be better, invested in helping small business rescue. And then somebody else says, I'm a physician who they're telling me I have to get a vaccine, or I was censored or fired because I talked about ivermectin. And so I'm more interested in what you're doing to help health professionals. So those three big projects that we've taken on really give everybody something to do. And in our organization, everybody works. And sometimes people complain to me about it. And I say, well, this is America, and we're going to get together and we're all going to work. You can't look at a bunch of people in Ohio and say, let us know when you've solved the problem for us, because that isn't going to work out so well. So yes, you have to roll up your sleeves and go to work like I do every day.
Well said. Andrew Torba, who's the CEO of Gab.com, has come out publicly and stated that in order for us to win this or even survive, we need to build a breakaway Christian economy. And much of what we're talking about here gets to the core values of God's laws and the way that we work in society. And we've gone just so far astray. What's your thoughts on that idea of building the breakaway economy, almost as if we're building a country within a country?
I think that's kind of it, really. I think that says it all. And the thing that's going to save us, although please include the Jewish people, my people want to join, not just the Christians, but I think that the thing that's going to save us actually from complete disintegration is the fact that local government and local involvement has not entirely gone away. And you can see early signs of this happening. Like, in Washington, D.C., our president, if you want to call him that, issues these executive orders and they pass the stuff in Congress, or they threaten to pass stuff in Congress. And then right away, you'll have a bunch of governors that issue an executive order, and a legislature will, finally grow a spine and pass a law saying we're not going to do this or that. So this independence at the local level, rather than having everything so centralized, is going to help. But we have to break that down even further. And so you look at small business rescue, for example, that can be the germination, the beginning of expanding beyond it, where, we're all focused on our local businesses. If there's something we can buy from a small business, we're going to get it there instead of Walmart, because we have to help these people, right? And so why not, and as an extension of that, support a local bank? I mean, we're all doing business with big banks. Well, we can start, when you have big blocks of consumers like that, it's really easy for somebody to start a local bank. One of the things that I've looked at is our healthcare system has been in free fall for a long time. This is just kind of the nail in the coffin phase, I suppose. With 80 million people who are members of Make Americans Free Again, which is what we aspire to, you can start a heck of a great new healthcare company with those people as the basis for it, not by forcing them, but by saying, listen, we have a lot of numbers here. And if 10 million people want to join this new thing, it would be viable. So raise your hand if you want to do it. And I think we'd have a lot of people who'd want to do it. So I think that what's going to come out of this is really the thing that we've all been talking about forever. I mean, I'm 64 years old. Since I've been a mature adult, which, wasn't right away, as is the case with a lot of us, I've been hearing about education reform. It gets worse every year. Government reform gets worse every year. Healthcare reform gets worse every year. Everything has gotten worse every year. So maybe you just blow it up, which is what they did, and we build it back the way we want it, which is not what they want, but I don't think they're going to get what they want.
I would agree with that. I think a lot of that's going to come to the will of the people. It's going to take the effort, and it's going to take the fighting spirit of what God gave us to really stand up. We literally, as I say many times, we need the watchers of the wall. We need the builders that put their hand on the hilt and raise the brick. We need the educators and teachers. We need the innovators. We need the healers. And we need those of wisdom to continue. And we have to have all of that together, because everybody has to work together to rebuild this nation as we're going to want it. Your programs in the small business realm are inspiring. And you talked a little bit about that. I'd like you to dig in a little bit more. How do you go about identifying who needs help? How do you help small business? Because you hit a key piece. We lose the band of small business, which is exactly what they want, and we become a world of people working for corporate mega companies. There's no in between. It's a rich and poor model. So what are you doing to go after the small business?
Yeah, so mainly that comes from Thursday groups. Like people would come and say, so-and-so owns a restaurant, having trouble staying in business. A friend and I were, we still take painting classes. That's something people are kind of surprised to find out about me. It's something I do for a hobby. And the person who owns the place where we were going, you know, she's in a small place and all the plexiglass and all that crap is just, you know, you can't really make any money doing that, right? And of course, I always found it interesting that all these terrified people who wanted all the masking and all that kind of stuff, they don't go any place where all these accommodations are made, right? So it just was, as you said, designed to disable. So we would, depending upon the location or the type of business, we put together plans to either go spend money. We got to the place we were pretty good at it. Like we could organize people to go to a retail store and buy everything that wasn't nailed to the floor or the walls in an afternoon, put people back on their feet. We said to the art studio, how many people do you need to paint every month to keep yourself in business? Great. We'll have that many at our place. You come and teach over here. We had people sign up for painting who said, I'll just pay $45. I don't want to paint, but you know, I want to be supportive. Okay, great. Some of them ended up taking up painting too. We would organize people to patronize businesses that sold food, small business. So, you know, everybody, you know, a group of people who order takeout. I did this, by the way. I own a food manufacturing company. Anything I want to eat is down the hall. And it's free for me, right? Because I own the place. I ordered and have eaten more delivery and takeout food during this last 16 months than in my entire life on the planet. But I did it because I didn't want to see our local restaurants go out of business. So I ate from other places too. And so it just kind of depends upon the business. We did field trips, you know, because we could take numbers of people to spend money places. And there were a couple of things about that. First of all, like you said, we have to salvage small businesses, take that away, and we're all going to be wards of the state. But the other thing, and this is really, really, really important in terms of our whole philosophy at Make Americans Free Again, we needed to have people start feeling successful and feeling like we could win this. And I remember when we started last summer, and it was right in July, it was when people were really starting to experience how awful this was. Like they're starting to figure out, they're not going to let us go. This is good against evil. We are facing some type of satanic kind of whatever. I mean, it was bigger and heavier than just government run amok. And when we started having the meetings, people would come in and you could just see the look on their face. They're terrified. They've been separated from people. They haven't seen their mother in the nursing home. I mean, everything was bad, bad, bad. Well, we started congregating, no masks. And we broke all the rules. I don't mind saying that publicly. I said it back then. A bunch of people in my office with no masks. We sometimes had as many as 100. And so you're winning by just showing up, right? And being around other people. And then we would go spend money in a business. And some people could only spend $8 for lunch, you know, and other people could spend a lot of money. But everybody felt like I just did something that could help today. So gradually what we've been doing is we've been getting people together and saying, look, we only take on things where we can win. Because if we just waited for the lawsuits to pay off, and they will, and we can talk about the strategy if you want, but if we waited for that to happen, I told Tom last summer, if we're standing on the steps of the Supreme Court with 25 wins, and our people have all become demoralized, and they're sitting in their basement waiting for life to end. This is a real Pyrrhic victory. I don't want to do it. So we have to find a way to lift the people up. And the way that you lift people up is you get them together in the same room. This is why we don't allow virtual meetings. You get them together in the same room. You get them doing something productive. Every time we spend money at a business and keep it in business, we win. Every child who we get out of the school, we win. Every time we add to our healthcare initiative, we're closer to taking over from the state and the government so that they can't do this to us again. Every time we file another lawsuit, get another lawyer, people say, oh my gosh, I'm with a winning group. We are winning. And if we don't have that type of mentality, we could win this in court and we would completely lose our population. And I didn't want that to happen.
Well, I think that's a critical piece. And it's what I talk a lot about as well, is that this fight is much deeper than just the mechanics, that ultimately when we get into this, we're dealing with what you just said a minute ago, which is a fight that's on principalities far beyond our control. or beyond our reach. And that also gets to the fundamentals of what I've been talking a lot about, which is moral law. Because our country was built on the Judeo-Christian ethics, and it was built with an accountability to God Almighty. And as we've moved away from that pivot, which is this structure where God is first, people are second, government is subordinate to the people, we've seen a complete inversion of this, to where government wants us to worship it, that we're subordinate to it, and God is some sort of sideline, like a set of training wheels on a bike. And that is one of our biggest challenges, which also gets to your Thursday groups, which I think are so important, because that's basically like a home church environment where you're bringing people together to congregate, build fellowship, talk worship, and rely on God to lead us. Would you agree?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And if you don't have that, the fabric of our community is people connected to people. And this is something kind of interesting that comes up. People say, okay, well, I'll start a group, so where am I going to find people? And maybe I'll post something on Facebook. I'd say, well, don't do that, because you're likely to be deplatformed, and you're probably not going to get many people who will do other than just, you know, throw hate messages at you. You know, we've become so disconnected that people think that Facebook is communication. I'm serious. I'm going to post something on Facebook. That's communication. And I actually have to say to people, let me explain to you what communication is. Communication is where I call you and say, hey, how are you doing? Great. What's going on in your life? Let me tell you what's happening over here. What do you think about this mess? You're as upset about it as I am? Great. So I want you to come to my meeting Thursday. This is what we're doing. That's communication. So we're forcing people. We have been forced to do the thing that brought us to this place in part, which is to become disconnected from the fabric of our community, disconnected from each other, getting away from our principles. I've heard this so many times. People say, I feel, you know, I believe in God. I am a God-fearing person, and I belong to a church, and I believe in our country and all this kind of stuff, and I feel like I'm all alone. You're not all alone. That's the way the vast majority of people in this country feel. The problem is they've been separated from each other. And that is why they were able, why the criminals were able to do this. And once we assemble ourselves again, person by person, one at a time is how it's going to happen. But once we assemble ourselves again, they will never be able to do this again. Because if 80 million people had been united in protecting, you know, God, family, country last spring, this thing would have been over with by Memorial Day. I'm pretty sure of it.
Oh, I totally agree. I've said this many times, that if people not bound to the mask craziness that the media created, which started in March, we would have been done by probably March or say May 2020. It would have been over. They wouldn't have been able to push. Not that they wouldn't have tried, but the resistance would have been so solid they wouldn't have gotten any traction, because we've so willingly given up our unalienable rights to these petty tyrants. Your lawsuits in the vaccination, is truly a bioweapon. You're fighting that plane too. You're going after that. Talk a little bit about that fight and that war you're waging.
Yeah, we have to fight on several different levels. The first thing is we have got to prove the fraud. That's challenging the emergency declarations in the first place. And then we have to go after the people who perpetrated the fraud, both at the federal and state level. And this is related to the vaccine issue, very related to it. And these people have to pay in significant ways. And jail time isn't enough. All right. So this guy, Jay Pritzker, who's governor of Illinois, him going to jail for a couple of years and coming out to his $3.5 billion fortune, no way. We need to take that money away from him and give it to the people he destroyed. Right? We need to do that with our little emperor here, who's been in public service for 50 years and somehow managed to accumulate $70 million. I want to run for that office where you get $70 million in public service. How the heck does that happen, right? So we have to make these people pay for what they did. And that's part of how you keep it from happening again, is people look at this and say, I don't think I would want to get involved in this after what I saw happen to those people. All of that criminal activity is what created the false need for the vaccines in the first place. And so we have to fight that on several levels. One is getting the kids out of school, because I'm sure you're aware that most states now have that mature minor doctrine, where they can vaccinate children as young as age 11 without their parents' permission or without even notifying them. And I just heard this morning from a student was inquiring about enrolling in our school in Australia, and she said that they just became public that the government gave the vaccine, the COVID vaccine, to 160 students at a boarding school without their parents' permission. And when everybody started screaming about it, the health minister said, "We just did it by mistake, so everybody should just get over it." Well, I don't think the parents are going to get over it. And, you know, that kind of thing can happen here too. It has already happened. We've heard from somebody whose kid walked into a pharmacy in Illinois, 17 years old, filled out the form, said he was 17, and they gave him the shot without his parents' permission. So we just have a situation in which the government's run amok and thinks that it can do anything. And they have good reason to believe that because they've been getting away with it. So we're challenging, in this whole mess of challenging the emergency, going after fraud, you have the emergency use authorization, which is supposedly the justification for the vaccine, right? Because there is no treatment. Well, that's all ridiculous. That's not true. So we can take that apart in court. We plan to do that. Then you've got all of the violations of the emergency use authorization, which is you have to be given all of this information. There's no informed consent going on. The package insert is empty. And how anybody could have an informed discussion the way that these vaccines are being administered. You've seen the vaccine clinics where you pull up in a car and you stick your arm out and they give you the jab and you wait over there for 15 minutes. There's no informed consent going on. So we have that to challenge. And then, of course, the injuries. I think that the employers have a lot of liability. We can go after them for doing this. I think that the big companies that have, and the airlines who've made this a condition of employment, I think there's, like you said, we'll be in court until the end of time. This is not something that will be resolved anytime soon, because getting to the bottom of it and bringing everybody to justice who was part of it is going to be a forever task. I mean, they're just fine. The reason they're going to stop hunting Nazis is because all of them have died, not because there were not more to find. And it's how many, 70 years after the war, right? So similar situation here.
I'm glad you said that, because so much of what we are facing right now is reminiscent with this COVID pass of the star that Hitler made Jews wear. And it's chilling to watch a society willfully accept this segregation by pass under a fake pandemic and a fake umbrella of fear, and see themselves as justifiably better, different, and more privileged simply because of an injection, which we've never seen before. This has to be very personal to you on that level. And what you mentioned there before, when we talk about justice, which is, and it's, I agree with you, this is, we are entering an era that as we take this battle back and we start to win the terrain back that we've lost, this is going to take the pursuit of the equivalent of Nazi hunters in our day to pursue every single person, in my opinion, under Nuremberg crimes that was involved in this, and bring them to public justice. That includes the stripping of their wealth.
I agree. And I just watched over the weekend, I had been told to watch this. I'm a World War II buff, by the way, so that's my favorite period of time to read about, and for obvious reasons in some cases. But I enjoy reading about it because I think it's instructive. And then I enjoy reading about all the heroic things that were done by people during the war, because I find that instructive and inspiring, right? So I watched this, and people know that. So they send me all the stuff that I would never find on my own. So one of my, the people who reads my newsletter and watches my videos, sent me this video called The Killing Nurses of the Third Reich. And it's an excellent documentary. It's chilling, but it goes back to the time before the Holocaust started, when Hitler, and got his inspiration from the United States, by the way, for his eugenics program, and the Rockefeller Foundation. I wrote about this in my book. The Rockefeller Foundation funded and participated in eugenics experiments with the Nazis and published their findings in medical journals. They were quite proud of their work, which I find kind of fascinating. But anyway, back in that time, they had they started by saying, you know, that they were going to do experiments on these kids, or they were going to relocate them to places where they could be taken better care of. And then the program spread to adults. And then it got to be, well, we need to put them to death because they're useless feeders. That's the term that the Nazis used, and how they the second, but also in the film, in addition to the fact that they were doing this, which I think a lot of people don't know, they had a very good program for getting people who would not normally do such a thing to actually do it. And it would start with working in a place where this was going on. You knew it was going on, but you know, you weren't actively involved in it. And then gradually you become desensitized to working there. So you might be in the same room when a child was being executed. And then if you do that for a while, then you could get to the place where you hold the child while he's being executed. And then it doesn't take much to get you to be the person who gives the injection to the child. Now, I can't see myself being dragged into that way, but a lot of people were. And after the war, they went after many of those people, many of those doctors and nurses who, they weren't at the death camps. These were just people who did terrible things to people outside of the camps. And many of them went to jail. And some of them didn't, but a lot of them did. And so these people who are participating in this, this pharmacist who gave this child without parental permission this shot, it was a terrible thing to do. If, God forbid, that kid becomes injured, she could be guilty of crimes against humanity and that sort of thing. And we'll be doing this for, like I said, my last day on the planet. I expect to spend it in court in the morning. And I think Tom feels that way, too.
I couldn't agree more. And it's going to take that sort of persistence, conviction, and in the end, a measure of ruthlessness for justice in order to right this ship, because it's, we can both agree, this can never happen again if we're going to survive as humanity.
Right. Absolutely. We can't just breathe a sigh of relief and say, well, we got our freedom back. And again, it's what you have to look at. I think the World War II situation is just such a great comparator because, first of all, they did this very gradually. And that's kind of what happened here, even the induction into this thing. So I went to the Holocaust Museum in Washington back in 2019 and made arrangements to spend the better part of the day there. And I mean, a lot of people go through and see it in 2 hours. I think I was there for 6 or 8, but I did everything. I watched everything. I sat in one of the box cars and cried and the whole thing that you do. So anyway, the part of the whole thing that I was most unfamiliar with was the part between when Hitler got elected and the Holocaust began. And what I found really incredible was how he and his henchmen, mostly men back then, how they started out sounding so reasonable. And then you could see the pivot, like as you watched each next video in the series, how they gradually descended into what they were doing. And it's very cult-like. I've read a lot about cults since this started. And the key to inducting people into a cult is you never tell them the whole story up front. So, you know, Hitler starts by, I'm going to take care of all the reparations they were supposed to pay after the World War I, and, you know, we're going to make the German people proud. Well, everybody wants to be proud. You and I are talking about, you know, we want Americans to be proud and bring that back and all that kind of stuff. So that's a welcome message, right? And then very gradually, it starts to go a different direction. And the next thing you know, it's 2 years later, and somebody who works for Hitler is showing the deformities of the Jewish face, and you can see the jaw's not right, and you can tell these are, you know, mongrel-type people who we need to put to death. And by then, everybody's nodding yes every time these people get up in front of the camera, and you've just culturalized a whole group of people to start hating each other and going after each other, and it's happened here. You know, the masked versus the unmasked and Republicans versus Democrats, and you voted for this person, you're a moron. I mean, just the way that they've done it is brilliant. You know, 2 weeks to flatten the curve, and here we are still. So that's what we're dealing with. They're every bit as evil as the Nazis. I have to believe that they studied the Nazis and a lot of other despotic regimes who took control of people, too, in order to very carefully craft their plan.
Or their descendants of. We'll have to find that out in time. The kind of some final wrap-up questions here. You mentioned something which caught my attention. It was what was said under the Nazi regime about being useless eaters. Klaus Schwab, who is a head of the World Economic Forum, or at least the voice of it, who has promoted this concept of this new global reset, and equally has made mention that you will own nothing, you will rent everything, and you will be happy. He has made the comment in his writings that we need to remove the world of useless eaters. That's right out of the Nazi verbiage, and he himself is suspect anyway of being of that type of ideology or worse, theology. What's your thoughts on that whole piece?
Oh, you know something? If you have an intuitive bone in your body, just take a look at this guy. Watch him speak. And watch all of them speak. You know, I know people who care about people, and I consider them great humanitarians, not on some big world stage like Klaus Schwab or Bill Gates. But if you listen to people who really care about people, they talk about people as humans, and they talk about humanity and the problems of humanity and solving problems of humanity. Have you ever noticed that the way that these people talk, it's always about masses of people and getting their way with people and numbers of jabs and all? I mean, everything is a metric to them. Everything is a metric. That's the way they look at people. We're just metrics. That's very Nazi-esque, right? You have these different groups of people, and some are worth having around and some are not. And they're easy to categorize and easy to find. And, you know, we eliminate the people who don't fit in with our strategy for a better world, because isn't that what it's all about? It's not doing better for this human in front of you. It's a better world overall. And then the chips just fall where they may. You have to eliminate people if you want a better world. You have to get rid of useless eaters. You have to promote what we know is better for everybody, because we're so smart and we're so wealthy and we're so educated and so full of ourselves, actually, too, that we know what's best for everybody. And if a lot of people have to die in the pursuit of the greater good, then so be it. And back to the vaccine issue, isn't that what that's all about, supposedly? You know, we have 2 million vaccine-injured kids in this country, but it's for the greater good because we can eliminate this and that disease, which they've never successfully done. But we let them get away with it. We, the collective we let them get away with it. We said it's okay to hurt and kill children for the greater good. So are we shocked that Klaus Schwab stands on a stage in front of the world and says the same thing? Everything escalates. Good escalates, bad escalates. We just let a lot of bad escalate, and now it's do or die time. We either fix this now or we're going to live in a world that I don't think you and I want to live in.
That's so true. It's going to be something right out of Terminator.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And that is part of that bigger agenda anyway, of the transhuman agenda, which we can go into in another show at some point. Pam, you're doing some amazing work. You're going to be at Bard's Fest. We're super happy to have you there. We're going to hopefully get to hear you speak on a number of different points here of your platform. What's your thoughts in going ahead? What's ahead for you, and how can patriots help in as they listen?
Join Make Americans Free Again and start groups. The faster we grow, the sooner this is over. Really, I'm not kidding. And we have, I think there are a lot of people doing a lot of great things out there. Don't misunderstand. But I think we're doing some important things that are not really being addressed by other groups. So whatever else you're doing, keep doing that. Just join us too, right? And help us get this done. And what I intend to do is just keep doing it. I mean, I'm just going to keep doing it until we're done. And I somehow, and I think it's God, garnered this. It's almost like a superhuman strength. I'm living on less sleep. I am making myself eat. It doesn't take much for me to get down to about 114 pounds and people think something's wrong with me, and that's not helpful. But I'm taking more time to eat, but I'm still living on less than the amount of sleep I need. And for some reason, it's not affecting me much. And I'm just going to keep on. And for people who want to get in touch with us, makeamericansfreeagain.com is the website. I put out a newsletter every Monday, 4 videos a week. That's all free. And all you have to do to subscribe is send an email to pampopper@msn.com. I do a conference call once a week to share our strategy and answer questions. That's free. We have a conference call every other week to help our meeting leaders and make sure that they stay on track and have the resources they need. We've hired full-time people in the office to help with all of this, and we're going to do it. And every time we've needed something, it just shows up. The person shows up, or the resources show up, or the attorney shows up, or whatever it is we need, it seems to show up. And that gives me validation every day that we've chosen the right path, and we just now have to see it through to the end.
That's fantastic. And I agree. And it does continue to work that way. This event in Bard's Fest is truly a God-centered event, and we're excited to have you part of it.
Thank you. for inviting me. I was so excited because I watch what you do. And of course, you know, I love Eric Napoutin, and he's being a brave guy who obviously could take a different path and isn't. And I just have all the respect in the world for him.
It's really an amazing coming together of people. And I think we're all feeling it, that this is bigger than ourselves. And really a time for us to make a stand on the right foundations, not just in love of country, but in love of God, which I think is so important. Pam, we always close the show with a prayer, and if it's okay with you, I'd like to do a prayer.
That would be great. That would be great.
Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for this time, this blessed time of coming together to once again hear the stories of one of your great warriors in this fight, to inspire others to stand up, to come together, and most of all, to build the fellowship that we need to feel the strength of union together through you. Lord, we ask that you'll continue to bless all of Pam's work, to guide her, protect her and her family and her team, to elevate that awareness so necessary in this time, to bring the knowledge and our faith forward, to stand boldly in front of this evil, to be fearless in this fight, and to be ruthless in the pursuit of justice through the very end. And we say these things in Christ Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you very much for a great interview. It's a pleasure to hear the stories. I know it's going to be a great piece for people to hear and be inspired by. We're looking forward to having you at Bard's Fest. And it's just going to be a really beautiful time to hear the many voices of inspired patriots that are fighting this fight in the trenches, which is really where we all have to be.
Exactly. Thank you for having me today and also for inviting me to Bard's Fest. I am really looking forward to that. And when you guys announced it, I thought, I'd really like to do that. And then, like we've been talking, it happened, as all things do, right?
Indeed, they do. Well, Pam, have a very blessed day, and thank you again for your time, and we look forward to seeing you soon.
Thank you.
Well, Patriots, that was Dr. Pam Popper, who is just a great voice in this movement, working hard to fight for patriots, push back on this genetic soup that they're trying to put into everybody, and protect children and protect small business. It's a massive, massive agenda. So I'd encourage you to join up with her organizations and support her in any way you can. Her work is like we all need to be doing, fighting every day in the trenches at the local level and really fighting to bring back America. It's going to take that sort of commitment, and it's going to take a commitment in faith as a center point. We've got to put God right back at the center point of this nation, and then we have to build back a country where the government is subordinate to the people, not the people subordinate to government. It's a time where we have to fight for our freedom of speech, as we know. It's a time that we have to reclaim the amendments that were given to us, and most importantly, retake and take back the God-given rights that we were given here, the inalienable rights that we gave away, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. So, Patriots, keep your head up and your eyes forward. Never bow to evil, never relent. Remember to get over to bardsfest.com, get your tickets for the arena. And tickets for the outside will go on sale again in the next couple of days as we shift over to a new ticket selling platform. So don't worry, we've got all that handled. But in the meantime, make your plans to be at St. Charles in the two events with one mission, bringing God back to this country, Bard's Fest. It is going to be truly one of the most epic events in history, and one of the reasons that people like the left like to attack it and fear it, because God's coming. And there's no stopping what's coming. God's with us. He'll never forsake us. And in the end, God will always win. If only they understood that, they would knock off this petty nonsense. I'll tell you that right now. All right, Patriots, I'll see you tonight for Fishers of Men. Until then, or until the next time, God bless, and out for now.
We shall pay any price, bear any burden, meet any hardship, support any friend, oppose any foe, to assure the survival and the success of liberty.
Every thoughtful citizen who despairs of war and wishes to bring peace should begin by looking inward, by examining his own attitude towards the possibilities of peace. Too many of us think it is impossible. Too many think it is unreal. But that is a dangerous, defeatist belief. It leads to the conclusion that war is inevitable, that mankind is doomed, that we are gripped by forces we cannot control. We need not accept that view. Our problems are man-made, therefore they can be solved by man, and man can be as big as he wants. No problem of human destiny is beyond human beings. Man's reason and spirit have often solved the seemingly unsolvable, and we believe they can do it again. Surely the opening vistas of space promise high costs and hardships, as well as high reward. So it is not surprising that some would have us stay where we are a little longer, to rest, to wait. But this city of Houston, this state of Texas, this country of the United States was not built by those who waited and rested and wished to look behind them. This country was conquered by those who move forward, and so will space. We choose to go to the moon in this decade and do the other thing, not because they are easy, but because they are hard. Because that challenge is one that we're willing to accept.
The energy, the faith, the devotion which we bring to this endeavor will light our country and all who serve it. And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
Has waited thousands of years to show its face. It has only one intent, to destroy God's light and to enslave. It has no scruples. It has no rules but one, to win at any cost. But we will never bow, for we are the remnant that will hold the line. This is war. We fight. We push, we climb, we never give in. We become the nightmare that evil didn't know could exist. We pray, we stand. We live by the words, "In God we trust." We fear nothing. We are the light that can never be extinguished. We are patriots. We are the digital army that will help deliver God's wrath.